I've entitled the message this morning, A Pastor's Reflections on Christmas, Sunday, December 23rd, 2018. By the way, we're not having service on Tuesday, which is Christmas Day, and the following Tuesday, which is New Year's Day. So I'll let you off the hook for the holidays. Since they said 100 million people travel during Christmas and New Year's. 100 million people? A third of the population of the United States? I wonder if that's true. Oh, and no Friday study. You will not be receiving an email saying come to Friday study. Come to Friday Night Live. Anyway, this is our Christmas special today. Turn to Deuteronomy 12:1. Deuteronomy. Some people say Deuteromony. It's Deuteronomy. Doing wrong to me. Deuteronomy 12:1. Thus saith the Lord through his servant Moses. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall carefully observe in the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods. On the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree, every evergreen tree. And you shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, and burn their asherim with fire. And you shall cut down the engraved images of their gods, and you shall obliterate their name from that place. You shall not act like this toward the Lord your God. But you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling. And there you shall come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. There also you and your households shall feast before the Lord your God, and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Israel did not heed the instruction of the Lord or fulfill their part of the covenant with obedience. Rather, they became disobedient to the Lord. And it's manifest in 2 Kings 16, if you want to turn there, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah. That is, king of the north, northern kingdom. When Ahaz, the son of Jotham, was king of Judah. 2 Kings 16:1. In the 17th year, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and even made his son pass through the fire. He sacrificed his son on the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord God had driven out before the sons of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. 2 Kings 17, in the ninth year of Hoshea, this is the end of the existence of the 10 northern tribes who would be dispossessed of the land and moved to strange lands and places, never to return to the land, the promised land. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria. Excuse me, I said Hoshea, the king of Assyria. It's in the ninth year of Hoshea, who was the king of Israel, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried Israel away into exile to Assyria. and settled them in Halah and Habar, on the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Now this came about because the sons of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, great deliverance, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods, and walked in the customs of the nations, whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel, and in the customs of the kings of Israel, which they had introduced. And the sons of Israel did things secretly, which were not right, against the Lord their God. Moreover, they built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. And they set for themselves sacred pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense on all the high places, as the nations did, which the Lord had carried away to exile before them. And they did evil things, provoking the Lord, and they served idols, concerning which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Jeremiah 3. He calls believers to repent. Jeremiah 3:13. "Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree. And you've not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithful sons, declares the Lord, for I am a master to you, and I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding." One more, Ezekiel 7:20. This is about ornaments. There's trees, and they're ornaments. Here we go. "And they transformed the beauty of his ornaments into pride. And they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things with it." So the question is, have you been good this year? Have you spent your time and money to buy things that will last, things that will endure? Have you lit your tree, or have you burned it down? 1,000 house fires each year in the United States are attributed to Christmas trees, and electrical fires from decorations, candles, and heaters. I wonder how many fires there are in churches that have their Christmas trees set up too close to the candles on the birthday cake that they baked for baby Jesus. Do you know they do that? Going to have a birthday cake for them. That's silly, isn't it? It's not only silly, it's stupid. And it's blasphemous. So, you having the usual Christmas? Is it Christmas as usual? Have you, as my grandson says, decorated your green tree? He used to say, not anymore, he's bigger now. He says, "Let's decorate it." Have you decorated your green tree and celebrated like the nations surrounding you? That God has rejected who worship under every green tree? There is no holiday that is more precious and jubilant to unbelieving Jews than Christmas. That should tell you something. Those who created and celebrate Black Friday, who don't work on Saturday, but rise early on Sunday to conduct business and see to it that Christians that work for them don't attend church. They don't believe in Good Friday or Resurrection Sunday and deny the very one who chose them as a nation and called them to faith in the Son of God as God and Savior, Lord and Savior, who have, that is, as a people, become the most ardent secular humanists who certainly love all things green, especially the almighty dollar. See, the tree of life is not a synagogue in Squirrel Hill where 11 died by the will of a madman, but a dead tree fashioned into a Roman cross upon which Christ offered his sinless life as full payment for the sins of the world, who died by the will of God in order to save Jews and Gentiles from the empty traditions of religion. We're to flee fornication. But instead, in Christendom, that's true and false Christianity put all together with denominations, some good ones, some bad ones, we're to flee fornication. But instead, millions flock to churches, like the Roman Catholic Church, for example, that forbid contraception and protest abortion. I think the reason they do that is so there are more children that they can molest. Whose celebrants are to be celibate men that are to be devoted to the spiritual well-being of children and all people, so many of whom are predators, homosexuals, and pedophiles. God's weighed the whole thing in the balance and found it wanting, for sure. And here's my suggestion, my recommendation to you if you go to one of those churches. Run! Flee fornication. Don't be a party to it, and don't support it anymore from this day forward. Merry Christmas! Their services, their masses, which are literally funeral services, are in fact celebrations of spiritual death through empty rituals, teaching lies about salvation, teaching that salvation is by sacrament, presenting another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit, 2 Corinthians 11:4. Worshipping Mary, I'm not bashing Catholics today, just for a moment I am. Worshipping Mary, baptizing unbelieving infants, it's the Catholic Church that put all the Christmas, pagan Christmas traditions together from the beginning, from the days of Constantine. Worshipping Mary, baptizing unbelieving infants, discouraging personal study of the word, spontaneous worship, and prayer. You've got to read their prayers. Pray the rosary. And commanding holy days, obligatory service, obscuring the truth, reading some passages, actually the same passages over and over, and never reading or teaching the rest. There's not enough truth to fill a thimble, not enough truth to fill a Christmas card, and no gift of eternal life presented. According to them, you have to earn it, work for it, or worship, buy it with money if you want to have it. You got to pay for it. The more you give, the more you get. And if you don't give, you don't get anything except a lump of coal. And indeed, for many, their soul becomes a lump of coal that will add fuel to the fire. Luke 23:27, Jesus said this on his way to the cross. He said, and there were following him, this has statements within it that Jesus spoke on his way to the cross. And there were following him a great multitude of people. This is on his way to be crucified. And of women who were mourning and lamenting him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, those without children, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what will happen in the dry? That is when everything is consummated in history, in the terrible trouble and tribulation of the end of human history. 7 years of tribulation. The Lord never commanded nor carried forward the feasts of the Old Covenant, which have a great deal of meaning in their symbolism, shadow, and type regarding the person and work of Christ. They're fulfilled in Christ. and should no longer be celebrated. It's correct that we don't celebrate those any longer, although there are many that do that. And the so-called messianic Christian community does, still celebrates a feast. But indeed, they should be taught with a view toward knowing Christ. They're very helpful in knowing Christ. Not as they were, but as they are now fulfilled in and by the person and work of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, that is what you eat or drink, or in respect of a holiday, holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow, only a shadow, of things to come. But the body that casts the shadow is Christ. We don't need shadows anymore, because the body that casts the shadow has come. Christ has come. In the light of his countenance is a brilliant illumination of the exceeding great revelation of his person and his work that sums up all things in heaven and on earth, in him, through him, by him, and for him, for his glory. He is the indescribable gift. And there's no other gift that can represent, you know, his giving does at Christmas, who and what he is. Only the real thing will do, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Those are the things that are most valuable. Those are the things that will never wear out, wear thin, depreciate in value, but will only become more rare and precious as the age winds down, rapidly heading toward the end of human history. If you have him, you have everything. If you do not, you have nothing. And nothing you want, nothing you get, nothing you have can satisfy the deepest longings of your innermost being, of your human soul. Life without him is an empty box, sure to keep on disappointing you, because anything that's placed in it leaks out, runs out, wears out, or expires. Without Christ, life is an empty box. You cannot, most assuredly will not, take anything with you when you die, except the truth in your soul. Except the Word of God. It's the only thing that gains entrance into heaven with you, follows you there, the Word of God. So load up on it as much as you can. Each day, every day, each and every day for the rest of your days on earth. In order that when the endless day of eternity arrives, you'll have something in your box. Teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we might present unto you a heart filled with wisdom. Psalm 90:12. Only one thing Jesus commanded. Only one thing, if you do it, will be commended. That is the Word of God in your soul that you take with you. Nothing is more important, precious, or valuable as the Word of God is. Therefore, make sure there's plenty of it, even if there's little else. Make sure you have plenty of that, even if there's little else. Believe it or not, no one will care what's in your wallet, your IRA, your 401k, money market, or mattress. You put your money in the mattress. Wealth will be measured in a different way, according to a far different standard. In eternity, faith will be gold, for indeed it is now and forever, and shall be always the gold standard, faith is. Silver is hope that never leaves one disappointed or ashamed, and love in all of its categories, the most rare and precious gems. a collection greater than any monarchy possesses. You know, the royal gems, the royal treasure. Any treasury contains any nation by itself or in alliance with others, has or can have, hidden or otherwise. These three abide, all of them accrue interest. And as the interest accrues in heaven, your interest accrues on earth. You become more and more interested in the Word of God. It's an acquired taste, acquired appetite. You've got to start somewhere until nothing you have is more precious. Your interest accrues until nothing you have you see as being more precious. And nothing you do is more pleasant or satisfying. I don't want to do anything but that these days. Nothing else satisfies me. I mean, nothing else does. Nothing else that you do or have will be commended or rewarded. Only faith, hope, and love. It's time to get greedy for the Word, for grace, for more and more, until you realize and appreciate the abundance that's yours, even as it is for everyone who's only believed in Christ as God and Savior. We all have the same grace. It is only more blessed to give than to receive if you have more than enough for yourself. It's only the overflow that can be given away, and indeed that blessedness is very great. By it you reign in life. The abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace. Romans 5:17 and 21. By it you gain great wealth. Talk about real wealth. That cannot but grow with compound interest in a personal, spiritual, eternal portfolio that will shock you, amaze you when you see it, and everyone else you know on that day when all that seems to be vanishes and gives way to all that is true and real. Make sure you have some of it, if not all of it, in your box before you leave town. Time is of the essence, especially if you've crossed the mid-century line, lived 50 years. It's at that time that time speeds up, because you're going downhill. Your roll of wrapping paper, like the roll of toilet paper, will soon reveal the cardboard tube. And you'll realize it's completely gone. Ma, take off that kerchief, and I'll take off my cap. It's time to awake from a long winter's nap. Is that from the Night Before Christmas? No, that's Scott's Night Before Christmas. I will not do that. I thought, I'll rewrite that. Man, so many people have done that. I just like that one. Take off your kerchief, I'll take off my cap. It's time to awake from that long winter's nap. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead in Christ. We'll shine on you. A life well lived is a life invested in God's Word. No other life is a good life. The goal is to be well versed by the time we depart. Faith comes and grows, not goes, grows, by hearing the Word of Christ. Romans 10:17. Nothing else you do can get you there, can take you there, or make your life on earth count, make it worthwhile. The day of Jesus' birth, what we call Christmas, is certainly a monumental occasion, but in no way is it commanded to be celebrated. The reason it's not is because God knew what it would become, just what it is. Some crazy secular holiday with all pagan traditions melded and amalgamated into the worship of Christ, which he says you can't do it. You have to crush all that. That's got to be gone. You say, oh, what's it hurt? Nothing except your soul. and diminishes. Your capacity for happiness, and in the end, may be part and parcel the reason that rewards are withheld, because you really don't believe what God says in His Word. You say, well, it's too late now, we're in too deep to ever change any of that. No, you're not. Get rid of it all. It's rubishka, rubbish. I don't know why believers are so animate about those things. I'm coming to each one of your houses, see how many lights you have and Santa Clauses you have on your lawn. And then we're going to excommunicate you. I'm kidding. I don't care what you do. The truth is the truth. And let the chips fall where they may. If you have the guts to do so. It's in no way commanded by God. He knew what it would be. And certainly not to be celebrated with the many pagan traditions and symbols of idolatry, and with cocktail parties, extravagant buying, and giving of expensive gifts, which plunge people into debt. They're working the rest of the year to make up for it. And certainly not with high anxiety or flying sleds, reindeer, and a kind, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent eternal being delivering packages to every boy and girl in one evening the world over. Now, if you want to close your children's ears, go ahead. Someone said to me yesterday, Christmas is about the children. I said to her, indeed it is. There's still plenty of time for us to ruin their lives. She didn't know what I meant. I didn't either until I thought about it. We're American children. That's all I know about is Americans. I don't know about other countries. Where American children are concerned, Christmas is so decadent and is drummed up so much and made to be so exciting that it can't possibly live up to its billing. It can only result in disappointment. Kids are jaded, expecting all kinds of things. Like my brother Bill, my older brother, who was headed to college, who was told that he was going to get a really great gift for Christmas. That this would be a Christmas he could never forget. No one had to tell him what the gift was, for he was sure he was getting a car. He was sure. How disappointed he was when that really great gift that he'd been anticipating for months turned out to be a gently used electric typewriter. Having already told his friends that he was getting a car, they teased the heck out of him continually until the day he left for college, some 9 months later. They would say, when are you coming to pick us up in your typewriter? We can't wait, because we never rode in a typewriter before. I think that was the first time I ever heard him use the Lord's name in vain. That Christmas. For these reasons and many other reasons, the Lord did not command the church to celebrate the birth of Christ each year, but to celebrate His death each time we come together by eating His flesh and drinking His blood. Not in a ritual that is invested with some magical and non-biblical meaning, like it is in the Roman church, transubstantiation, or even as it is viewed and practiced in most Protestant denominations, not once a quarter, every time, do this in remembrance of me. Show forth my death until I come. Once again, I do not consider the communion service to be something that is wrong. I'm like Paul. Paul says, God didn't send me to baptize. He didn't send me to be a communion host, but to call you into communion with his Son in a very real and continuous way each time we meet together under the Word of God, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who makes Christ real in our midst and his death real in our midst. It's not wrong to have communion service. And indeed, I can see how they would interpret the teaching regarding the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, or communion, with its symbolic significance to be something that they would do. I see how they do that. I see why they think that. But like everything else that began in Judaism, it's the Passover Supper, with its symbolic meaning and significance as a teaching aid, it would grow up by the word of truth into the maturity of spiritual reality in spirit and truth worship of true worshipers, those that the Father seeks, who celebrate the sinless life of Christ, symbolized by unleavened bread and his vicarious substitutionary atoning death, symbolized by the cup, living by the Word and the Holy Spirit as he did in the days of his humanity, and having, as he did, a crucified mental attitude, submitting his will to the Father who raised him from death. That's what it's about. In order that we who believe might think as he thought and live as he did. 1 John 2:6. This is the reality behind the ritual, the result being the internalization and the manifestation of the very life of Jesus in these mortal bodies. Romans 8:11, 2 Corinthians 4:10-11. That we might say in reality, along with the Apostle Paul, the way that he stated it himself regarding his own life, I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. For all of us who believe, the reality of Christmas is the supernatural conception of Christ in us, being born of the Spirit, the water in the Spirit, followed by his formation in us, in Galatians 4:19, and his manifestation through us as we walk around, as he did in the days of his humanity, upon the earth. 1 John 2:6, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. No ritual celebration or national holiday, no mystical, magical, or allegorical ceremony or celebration will bring about the transformation that God alone performs by the Word of Christ, taught by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Spirit of Christ, richly indwelling our hearts. He offered his body, his ears, his eyes, and his limbs to God as a living sacrifice. We're called to be living sacrifices. And bore in his body our sins to the tree as our substitute, a sweet-smelling savor, sacrifice to God. He smells that, or you're concerned. Those for whom he died, who believe in him, are commanded to follow him wherever he goes, to do so every day and all day long. There is no season, celebration, or substitute that can fill the bill. Therefore, for us, every day is Christmas, every day is Easter, every day is as special, as precious, and as important as any other. We fulfill his command by gathering together. We show forth his birth, his life, and his death until he comes. Those who think there's something greater, better, or more real than this don't know, can't know, and will not know until or unless they hear and believe and begin to expose their soul to the living and powerful Word of God that reveals the sacred heart of Jesus. Indeed, his heart is sacred, and that heart has to be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, whose lifeblood was the Word of God, and whose body was the vehicle for his nth degree obedience, Hebrews 10:6. He lived and died by every word of God, and he left us our marching orders. Angels we have heard on high, joy to the world. O little town of Bethlehem, silent night, away in a manger, O come Emmanuel. O holy night, O come all you faithful, or Mary did you know, that's my favorite. Our hymns that proclaim his birth, but not only his birth, like these did, his birth, his life, his death, his burial and his resurrection, and often his coming again, his ascension and his coming again. If we must attend holiday parties, get-togethers, and if we must take part in certain gatherings of family and friends, let's make sure we don't forget to worship Christ, which is should be our custom every day, which we do every day, every season, each and every time. We gather in his presence to receive more of Christ each time, even sing songs like we did today of praise to his holy name. That's what we do at our Christmas party. We sing these just to redeem it, because you got to have a Christmas party. So I cave in. Merry Christmas and a happy and holy New Year. I can only suggest and recommend to those who esteem one day above another that you extend the day and season to every day of the year for the rest of your days on earth, in order that on the day of reckoning, see, this is what we're looking forward to, it's coming. It will be known that your box was filled, your life was filled with Jesus Christ, listening to him, learning of, from, and about him, leaning upon him, living for him, and loving him more than anything or anybody else. So please accept my pastoral reflections and do some reflecting yourselves, if you haven't already. And whatever you do, do not get sucked into the secular and satanic trappings of so-called Christian holidays or distort the minds of your children with fairy tales. How about making sure that they know the gospel and lead them from the manger to the cross, where they may receive the indescribable gift of Christ, 2 Corinthians 9:15, the gift of God which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. Help them to see and know the babe in the manger, certainly, but the 12-year-old boy sitting in the temple, asking and answering questions with the religious leaders and Pharisees, the young man traveling throughout Israel, teaching, healing, raising dead children, teenagers, and adults, performing miracles, feeding 5,000 people with one boy's lunch, calming a storm, walking on water, loving mankind, no matter how sinful and defiled they were, the one who never sinned, never lied, never did what all the rest have done, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Word of God, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the whole world, who lived and died as a substitute for them. Tell your children about him. Who decreed their live birth and has a plan for their life that they can realize if they learn his word and trust in him to show them the way, to make them humble and wise beyond their years and happy beyond their wildest dreams for a blessed and meaningful life that they can only have in a relationship with Jesus Christ. A life where every day is Christmas, where every day is a gift, where living is Christ and dying is gain, where Christ lives in them by his Holy Spirit and will meet them face to face at the end of their journey to usher them into his beautiful kingdom where everything's shiny and new. Where no desire will be unfulfilled, no pleasure forbidden, and no sorrow, sickness, or sin can ever enter or intervene. Where they will rise and call you blessed. Proverbs 31:28, who brought them to Jesus and taught them his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these things. We just appreciate so much your word. It's beautiful. And your son, Jesus Christ, he is altogether beautiful, altogether lovely. Father, may the reflections, these reflections, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And for the congregation also, Father, that these things would have meaning for all of us. So, Father, we're free from the law, and nothing in and of itself is unclean. But if to someone it is, then to that one it is unclean. Because it's not out from faith, and all that is not faith is sin. So, Father, we judge these things as mere men. You judge them as the one who knows men's hearts. We thank you for these things. Father, may all, each one of us have a new year that is centered on Christ, focused upon learning of his person by his word. And Father, may we all have a great interest and desire to fill our box with the person of Christ through the word of Christ taught by the Spirit. If I could have my ushers, please. I'd already asked for you, didn't I? Bless the offering, Father, in Jesus' name. And bless Vicky's special song. In Jesus' name, amen.
I had prepared today a song that I've been working on, but the message today, I changed my mind, and it was the Holy Spirit that had me do this. And my prayer for everyone here is that we would just fill our gift box today with the Word of God, Jesus Christ the Word. And that our treasure chest would be filled with gold, silver, and precious stones.
Some are seeking for a treasure that they cannot find. Some are seeking for a treasure that they cannot afford. What is seen to the eye as a precious attraction is only wood and stubble, and they will not survive. Where does your treasure lie? Mouth and lust destroy these breaking and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's word. Are you seeking the one who bought your freedom? Freedom from the slave market of sin. The cost was everything to him, but he did not count it. He gladly gave it all. And from his cost we benefit. Where does your treasure lie? Moth and lust destroy, the thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's word. Some search for treasures in money, others in what this life it holds. What I search for can't be bought, the eye cannot see. It was purchased at the cross, grace is it free. Where does your treasure lie? Where moth and rust destroy, the thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too. Asking God for wisdom, with your voice for understanding, in treasures in the riches God's womb.
Thank you, Vicki. We really appreciate your gift and your ministry. And you are dismissed. Happy New Year. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.